Today is November 27th, 2023. I'm Jen Y., North of Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with Janet DeArc. No, she's not a firefighter or a retired firefighter. She was married to Bruce DeArc, the only in-line-of-duty death Jeffersonville Fire Department has ever had. When I started doing these interviews, I kept telling myself I have to interview Bruce's wife. We're finally able to get together and talk about Bruce's time with the Jeffersonville Fire Department. And, yeah, we probably will cry, and that's okay because oral histories are what they are, and we want to record the truth. And yes. So thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you taking your time
to be here.
Talk about your husband. So it's been almost 2 years since Bruce died, is that right?
It'll be 2 years in February, yes.
So how are you and his daughters doing?
I'll tell you, not as good as you think you would be. It's starting already.
It's okay. It's okay. We've all, everybody listening to this, I'm sure has lost somebody.
Oh.
And we understand.
And I say that myself and the girls.
Because people think that it gets easier.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. You just learn to cope better.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I learned to cope better, but we learned at the end of year one that year two was worse, and that is definitely the case.
So how long were you all married?
I say cancer plus 4 months, because he was diagnosed 4 months after we were married. So 4 years.
Oh my gosh, that almost makes it even worse.
Yes. Yes.
How long was Bruce a firefighter?
20 years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yes, and
how long had he been offline in the office?
10 years.
Okay.
So yeah.
He did 10 years on and then 10 years in the office.
Yes.
I'm not sure which is harder.
I'm not sure how he would. There were many days during administration that he would say, I'm ready to go back online.
What was his job in administration?
He was the deputy chief.
Oh, okay.
So it was Eric Hedrick at the time, uh-huh. who's since retired, and then Bruce.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. It was Sean Grant eventually. I can't remember who he started out in administration with, which is sad. But, yeah.
Well, it seems like that changes a lot.
It does, for different reasons.
Yes.
Some of them valid, some of them not, but it
just
is what it
roll
is.
Roll with it.
I do have to say we were very thankful he was in administration when he was diagnosed with cancer, because there were points that there's no way he could have put on gear and responded the way the online firefighters have to respond day in and day out, hour in, hour out. There was no time that Bruce wasn't working when he had cancer. The last day he walked into the firehouse was December 30th of 2021, and he died in February 6th. Yeah, last day he walked in. And I found out after the fact that he was not sharing the extent of his diagnosis with those that he worked with. And I understand that it was an escape for him, as was my work.
Absolutely.
You wanted
get away
to go
for
to the firehouse.
8 hours and
yes.
kind of be your
yes.
normal self, whatever normal is.
Right. And if, you know, by the time he was diagnosed with cancer, like they worked, I'm not going to say they don't work hard, but versus day one of being in administration versus year six. So if Bruce had chemo and he wasn't feeling well, we lived very close. So he could come home, take 2 hours rest, go back. You know, there's that flexibility with being in administration. But still would, you know, if there's a structure fire, he would jump in the truck and go, even if he wasn't going
to
put the gear on.
It's just in your blood to go
injury,
and just see. And
he still wanted to be there, because that's, you know, the more, it's all dangerous. But there are things that can happen. Structure fires don't happen every day. So being on scene and making sure his guys were okay.
Right.
And girl. I say guys.
But yeah, we know. There's the two females have retired.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think there's any females on there now, is there?
No,
there's
not.
Which is sad.
Yes. So I met Bruce a couple times at the fire department, the headquarters. I had no clue he was sick. I had no clue.
I believe it.
I mean, it was just like this bald guy sitting back in his office telling jokes, cracking us up. And
yeah.
I have no idea. Because so many of them are bald, so like, weren't thinking anything different.
And I don't, he didn't even like lose eyebrows. Or, you know, the skullet that he could have had if he grew it out. But yeah, for some reason, you know.
Oh, and chemo affects everybody in a different way.
Yeah, it sure does.
What do you think firefighting meant to him?
It meant the world. I mean, it, as I'm sure many have told you, we just talked about this the other day with his brother, too, how his father instilled in them that saying where if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And I had never heard that story about Bruce's dad, that he had talked to his children about that and like that. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, he spent 10 years trying to get on the Jeff Fire Department. When he got on the fire department, there wasn't the merit board like there is now, which kind of makes things less political. So for 10 years, he went in. I was told they had to go in once a month and update their application. So for 10 years, Bruce trucked it into City Hall, which I believe at the time Sissy Ellis was the HR director. So he and Sissy had a relationship before he even came on the fire department. She ended up, as you may know, the executive assistant at the fire department, but she is who saw him every month for that time,
I mean,
updating his application.
I'm not sure that I could do that, to be that diligent, to be like...
I don't know.
But either you want me or you don't. I'm not going to keep. But I guess if it's something that you know you're meant to do. How old was he when he finally got on?
Let me think. That's kind of... Let's see, he's 53 when he died. So, 33?
32, 33? So he just kept on. I mean, that's...
Yes. David, his cousin, was on the fire department, and his uncle, CD, was on the fire department. And then his dad was part of Utica Fire Department.
I think the volunteer.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they call, do they call it Utica Township?
I don't know.
Utica Fire. But I believe he was like one of the, his dad was one of the founding members.
So it's kind of in the family.
Right, yes. And he had a very good job. He worked at, I forget what it is now, and what it, Apollo Idemitsu out in the port.
Oh, yeah.
Had a very good job there. I think he was approaching the time where they took employees over to Japan for 2 weeks. And he was approaching the time that it would have been his turn when he got offered the job as a Jeffersonville firefighter.
Japan or firefighter?
Right,
what
yeah.
He made the
right
I
know
decision.
He very much enjoyed working there as well and learning about
the
Japanese
culture. I could just
see
that he would fit in everywhere and just, he just had a big personality.
But yeah, firefighting, it was... There were days it felt like a job, but not like you and I have.
Yeah, we feel every day.
Spend more days feeling like you're going to a job. Loved the people he worked with. Of course, there's ones, you know, it's
a big
organization.
I mean, it's just like anywhere. There's people you're going to love, people you're going to be like, eh, whatever, take your life.
But they're, you know.
But I mean, everybody that I've interviewed, they just say it's just like a big family.
Yes.
And like you're going to have some squabbling, but at the end of the day, you know they literally got your back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you recall him talking about the best parts of his job?
Helping the younger ones. It was very rewarding. I know you said you talked to Luke Coward. And just hearing him talk about somebody coming on day one, and just going through orientation and getting the hang of things and the different shifts and stuff, and then just the working side by side training. I mean, he just enjoyed
that
so much.
That's gotta be so rewarding to see these younger guys and girls just
especially the ones like Luke. And I know, I mean, Jeffrey was one of them too. Rex Caldwell. I mean, I don't know the half of it, I'm sure. But I know how close, you know, like Marty Stingle, they'd go on golf trips every year. And
they become your family. I mean, you're working these 24-hour shifts with these people. And they're seeing you on your best days, your worst days. You all are going out and...
You're making meals together.
Yeah. You're going to the grocery
together. You're going to the grocery store together. And your families are coming in to see you. So you see each other's kids.
You watch kids as they grow up. And yeah.
Yes.
So it's...
Which I knew of Josh Kemp. I didn't realize how close they were until I didn't pick the pallbearers. I had, I know Eric Hedrick was involved because Eric Hedrick was living in our home the last 4 days of Bruce's life. And I was like, you guys pick the pallbearers. You know who he was closest to, who meant.
Do you remember who all they were?
Jeffrey Levin. Josh Kemp, Marcus Wren, David Diark, his cousin. Oh, gosh. This is going to be bad if I can't remember. John Obermeyer, of course. I'm sure Eric was one of them. Who am I forgetting? I think Doug Snead was his captain way back when. Is that six?
I think so.
I'm trying to picture them as they walked by. Yeah. But, you know, I just said you all pick.
And I did listen to the funeral. I was out hiking because I knew I couldn't sit. I had to be up by myself to listen. And I bawled my eyes out on that hike.
Yeah.
And then seeing the pictures from it, I was like, okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I keep our newspaper files here at the library, and we do have a file dedicated to the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Everything about Bruce is in that file if you or the girls ever need to want to see it.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did he ever talk about any, like, the worst parts of the job?
I mean, the political stuff is always difficult, but there were a couple runs I know that stuck with him that I would say, you know, were the worst parts of the job. But really the worst part, other than the worst runs, was just the politics.
Yep.
And I know I can't say that too loudly, although Rich isn't here anymore, so. And you know, Bruce.
But they've gone to a merit board, so it makes it less political, right?
Right, right. It's just, if you're in the administration, you've been appointed by the mayor. And Bruce was very good at, I guess, I don't want to say playing, but...
Being diplomatic.
Yes. Yes. But not... He did not go beyond that in crossing the line. He did what he had to do, and if you're going to ask him to do anything that was remotely questionable, didn't happen.
Because he has integrity.
Yes.
He understood that.
It did not happen.
Because, once you lose your integrity, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Did he have any funny or interesting stories about when he was online or when he was in admin? Because I know these guys are jokesters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'll have to think on that.
I mean,
that
I've
one.
Had someone tell me that
there's probably some that
they were having a snowball fight in the department or in the firehouse, and they had like 6 inches of snow on the floor that they had to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody told me about they taped the sink sprayer open, so
oh,
you turned
yes.
on the water. And
yes.
They were just, you just got to get used to
or
like breaks.
This is a fairly common one, I think, in fire departments, but there's something called the K-saw. The letter K, saw, that they use, you know, to cut things open and whatever. Well, as newbies come on, this is like a kind of a general firefighter joke, they tell them that the K-saw is like a pull start. And it's not. So they sit there.
So all your future firefighters listening to this, don't be fooled by the K-saw.
And I could tell you an extremely inappropriate one from a golf trip, but I don't know if I should.
We can talk about that after
okay.
the recording.
Sounds good. Yeah. Somebody shared it with me on Thanksgiving Day because they knew it was a hard day for us.
Oh, yes.
Wanted to make us laugh.
We all need those little
But yeah. I
reminders
mean, there's a
of
thousand stories of jokes that were played, and I'll tell you what, Eric Hedrick's one of the, I'll say the worst.
You always got that one guy that's
best,
like...
Best, but worst.
But worst, right.
I mean, he will have you in stitches, and Bruce and him were very close, and yeah, they'll have you in stitches.
So, when did he get the cancer diagnosis?
March 19th. Of 2018.
And what type of cancer did he have?
Colon cancer. Stage 4 colon cancer. Yep.
And it was caused by the job, right?
Yes.
I don't know if people realize or understand newer building materials.
Right.
When they burn, they are caustic.
Yes.
Do you don't want to be breathing that stuff? You don't want to be near that stuff?
No.
Yeah, I just don't think people understand.
Yeah.
Everything that goes into your house is a carcinogenic in some way or another.
We live in a very toxic world. I was at my parents' this weekend for Thanksgiving, and my mom had a Glade plug-in. I mean, we just talked about hair products. I mean, we...
Yeah, the most innocuous things you don't think about until you have someone who's dealt with cancer... Yeah.
What are you breathing in?
Yeah, and then these firefighters are going into these buildings.
Yep.
Whether it's your house, anything, a big building that, you know, manufactures
yes.
whatever. I mean, there's...
And I think firefighters, I don't even think all of them are, because there's, you know, we're fortunate to be a paid career fire department here in Jeffersonville. And, you know, if you look at the majority of our nation... I don't know what we do without our volunteers, and I don't know that they get the training, that they get the education,
right.
etc. It's not always, like a dumpster fire can be more toxic than, you know, a warehouse fire. I remember being at a Purdue football game one time, tailgating, and as happens, people get intoxicated. There was somebody that set a boombox on fire, and that plastic burning was, I mean, taking everybody around us, like, down. And it was like, after Bruce's diagnosis, this hit home more, but we'd go on camping trips with the family, and at the end of a meal, people would throw their paper plates... styrofoam, you know, bowl and plastic in the fire. And, you know, you're like...
Now you're breathing all that.
Now you're breathing all that. And I know you think it's only one paper plate, it's only one styrofoam bowl, and it's only my fork, my plastic fork. But...
Now multiply that by whatever, and then this is what these firefighters are going into.
Yes. Yes.
What was his reaction to the diagnosis?
Oh, just... blown away, just absolutely shocked.
Did he have, I mean, he had problems leading up to it, any symptoms, or was it just kind of...
It was, I'll tell you, so he was diagnosed March 19th. In hindsight, you know, beginning of a new year, trying to eat better, trying to lose some weight. He was losing weight faster than he should have been. It was easier than it should have been. And I remember him even rubbing it into, like, Eric Hedrick, jokingly, before the diagnosis, obviously. But the weight was coming off too quickly. In hindsight, he was sleeping a lot more, resting a lot more. But again, beginning of a year, dark.
You're trying something new.
It's, yeah. You know, cold, you know, just didn't really click until in hindsight. And then leading up to the diagnosis, he felt kind of nauseous, but the flu was going around.
It's and winter literally, time, so.
Literally, as his wife, I did not know he was even feeling bad until, like, Sunday night. And he was like, I'm going to go in and see Nicole tomorrow. And I'm just like, okay. And then he tells me the symptoms. I'm like, sounds like gallbladder. You know, my mom had her gallbladder out. She felt nauseous, threw up, appendicitis maybe.
Never think but, cancer.
No. When he, being new, like I had left the city of Jeffersonville employment to go to the Clark County Health Department to do what I had done previously up north. So when he was going to go to the doctor, it was like, you know, you're new. So he didn't want me to miss work, and he didn't really push it. Like, at all. So he went to see Nicole, whom we both, you know, she's a friend. And then he's like, she's sending me to get a CT scan. You want me to go with you? I can, you know, I can leave. No, it's fine. It's fine. And then when he got back to Nicole's and she said, you need to go directly to the ER, and he called me, that was like, yeah, that was crazy.
Because she knew, right?
She knew. We didn't know, like, obviously the severity of it, but we did very soon after that. And just to have somebody, you know, tell you that you have tumors in your abdomen and colon, and it was insane.
What stage was it at when he was diagnosed?
It was 4. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction?
Just absolute shock. Just absolute. I mean, I remember exactly where I was when he called me. I remember exactly who was standing in front of me, exactly what I was doing. I mean, once anybody found out, he was so loved. I mean, they just flooded the freaking emergency room. But having to tell, like, his daughters and his family and...
How old were his daughters at the time?
Oh, gosh. Kayla, she's 25 now. She was 23. So, like, 14 and 19.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard at any, however, you know, whatever age. But
right, and he
to be
was...
a super young adult...
I mean, he was, he's not just a dad. He was like Mr. Mom. I mean, he was Mr. Mom, literally. Took those girls everywhere to school, busted them out of school, you know, Dad, will you sign me out?
Aww.
Okay. You know, like, yeah. Just, yeah, he was the best dad. He was the best husband. But, yeah, that was... But once, like, once it sunk in and you have, like, there's the unknown and just getting the diagnosis and that time between then and when you have, like, an ounce of a plan of how we're going to attack this. And once you feel like you have a plan of attack, then you feel like you have a little bit of control back. And there wasn't ever, ever, ever a time when he wasn't fighting it, that he wasn't going to fight it. Until his dying breath, he was still. I mean, guys would come literally to the house to say goodbye to him, and he'd be like, well, I'm just kind of hoping, you know, I can get enough strength up so I can get in a wheelchair so I can get out and about. You know, because they told him weeks to months. So if he had months, he was going to get in a wheelchair so that he could get out and about.
And I remember hearing that when he was dying, that there was always a firefighter there with him. Is that true?
After he passed?
Or as he, yeah.
Oh, well, he came home, like, we finally had a doctor tell him, God love her, she is a freaking saint. Like, we were in the hospital for 26 days. Initially, we went in because he lost the ability to use his left leg. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know. I have more medical background, which I really don't. I kind of knew what that meant. But he wanted to know why he lost.
Yeah.
So we ended up spending 26 days in the hospital. And finally, a doctor, who wasn't even his doctor, came in and told him, this is it. You know, like, you want to go to Fraser Rehab for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And that's what he wanted to do in his mind. And that's kind of what they talked to him about, to regain strength so he could get in a wheelchair so he could get out and about. And she's like, hey, that's not the best place for you. You don't have that much time left. Yeah. But thank God she was actually...
Finally, somebody told him the truth.
Yeah, and the only reason she did is because she treated my sister-in-law for breast cancer, so she knew our family. And she knew his story, and she just came up into the room and literally was like, took his hand, looked him in the eye, and said, hey, that's not the best use of your time. You don't have that much time left. So once we knew that, he wanted to come home. And so he literally, like, was making his own EMS arrangement with Matt Owen.
Of course he was.
He did to get to the hospital. He did to get to the hospital.
Oh, even in the end, he was like, no, let me go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's like, that's funny.
I mean,
calling New Chapel,
I mean,
Matt Owen.
You got to laugh about some things.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
It's just their personality, and it's what they're going to do.
Yeah. So, I think it was, let me think, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can't remember if it was a Wednesday or Thursday when he came home, and that drives me nuts, but... I didn't think he was going to make it through the night because, he was in multi-system organ failure, which I learned a lot about the body that I really didn't care to learn, but apparently your liver, function is what keeps your blood clotting. I mean, there's something with your liver that makes your blood able to stay in your body. And he was literally bleeding out. I didn't think he was going to make it through the first night that he was home. But before we left the hospital, they gave him as many transfusions as they possibly could. They gave him vitamin K. Everything they possibly could, they gave him to give him as much time as possible. So the moment we got home, literally a living wake occurred. Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's crazy. It was, and we had an ice storm coming.
You're going to do it, you're going to go all out.
Let me tell you, hospice, failed us. Moment one. I walked in the door after 26 days in the hospital, and they wanted me to sign a bunch of forms. They wanted to tell me what medications they had ready for him, when to give them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, Joe Hurt is a firefighter, and he's an RN.
I know the name. My nephew's wife knows him, yes.
Josh Thompson, former paramedic. Those two moved in with us. Eric Hedrick moved in with us. Yeah, it was crazy. Those three. Eric was like our gatekeeper. He managed the entire house. He managed who would come and who would go. When we'd had enough, when we didn't, he made sure there was food abound, drink abound. Eric, so he managed like the household, the comings and goings of people. And Joe, along with Bruce's daughter, who was in nursing school, and her fiance's sister, who was in nursing school, and Josh, made sure Bruce was in no pain whatsoever, 24/7. I have no idea what we would have done without Joe Hurt. No idea. No idea. I don't know how other people do it that don't have a nursing family. But yeah, we had streams. Our front door didn't close. Streams of people. I didn't even, you know, I was just like, you know.
So you took off work during this time, yes? Or you were doing the best you could?
Oh, you know what? So, at the end of June 2021, I was just like over COVID, like burnout, literally between COVID and cancer. I was literally ready to jump off a bridge. No joke. Like,
we can only take
I know so where
much.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It gets rough.
So I was like, and at that time, I knew the statistics of Bruce's disease, but he wasn't like going downhill necessarily. But I was like, if we can do this, let's do it. And I just quit. I quit my job. And I was like, I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how some of the bills are going to get paid. I didn't care.
You got plenty of firefighters that are going to take care of you all.
Yeah, I didn't care. So I was not working at the time. No. But yeah, I am forever. And I know they loved Bruce as much as I loved Bruce. And, you know, I always say he wasn't mine alone. He was this town's, he was at fire department's. And if anybody wanted to come in my home, you come in, you talk to him, you say your goodbyes, and there's nothing better than a living wake.
And there was a firefighter with him from the time he died, right? Until
he Yes. Buried. When he, after he passed, they, Scott took him to the funeral home, flanked by every apparatus in town. And yes, they did. I think it was half hour shifts.
I think that's...
And it was 10 days later.
That's what really got me, is when I heard that his body was not left alone.
Oh, I couldn't have. I would have been there.
That there was
I
a firefighter
would have been there.
With him.
Yes. And we had to go to Scott.
What other job would do that for you? What other co-worker?
We didn't even ask. Like, and they didn't even have to, like... There wasn't a shift that wasn't...
I mean, like... Who else's coworkers would
like,
do that?
Yeah.
We'll go to the funeral home and stand, I don't want to say guard, but stand in
literally 24/7,
in memoriam
3 a.m.,
of their 2
a.m.,
coworker.
1 a.m., 4 a.m. I mean,
well, these guys are used to being up at all hours anyway.
It was 10 days until his funeral, though, just because of how things fell. And I would have been at the funeral home back there, because that leaving him alone was something. Yeah. And we had to go to Scott a couple times, obviously, to do some planning. And each time I would be like, I need to go back there and thank who's ever there.
Yeah.
You know, and one time it was Donnie Johnson, who's very good friend, Paul Finch. I mean, those are just, you know, a couple that were there when we happened to be there, but 24/7 for 10 days.
I mean, that just shows you how amazing he was, how loved he was.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like the most beautiful, horrible thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
It couldn't have been more beautiful, or it couldn't have played out.
So my next question was the fire department supportive of him? Obviously.
Yes.
Above and beyond. Yes. They didn't have to do that, but...
No. And we've had 4 memorials this year. And, I mean, we just had one in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and they made sure, you know, we got there. They made sure we had housing.
Oh.
They were there themselves. I mean, Brandon Hoef, who's the president of the union currently, mm-hmm. like, he's got 6 kids. He flew out the morning of and flew home the night after.
Was Colorado special to you all?
The international, so... There was a memorial in May. The National Fallen Firefighters has their memorial in May in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And that, we were told, is more for the family, which John Obermeyer and Josh Thompson both traveled out there. Absolutely incredible. Can't even put words to it. And then Supporting Heroes has their... They call it a gala where they honor those who have died the past year. So 2022s are honored in 2023. That was in July. That was in Owensboro, Kentucky. And then the state of Indiana has like, it was like a Thursday evening in September in Indianapolis. And then the one in Colorado Springs is the International Association of Firefighters. So they have their own memorial as well. That was U.S. and Canada in September. And that, we were explained, is more, not that it's not for the family, but more for the brothers. So you would see a good contingency from those who are being honored fire departments that would travel out for that one in particular. So, yeah. We had all those memorials. I don't even know what the question was.
That's okay.
But yes, the fire department, you know, not just from the date of diagnosis through his passing, through the funeral. I mean, it's just been ongoing.
And they're still there for you.
Yes.
So he made it his mission to make sure firefighters get screened for cancer, right?
Correct.
Like that was. I remember seeing him on the news.
Yes. And that was, even before his diagnosis as deputy chief, was something he was working on as far as, you know, he knew that firefighters were more likely to get cancer. He knew the statistics and was working on protocols within the fire department as far as deconning after fires and making sure that the exhaust on the vehicles is exit. They have the special hoses they put over the exhaust so that the exhaust is going outside and not throughout the firehouse. And so he was working on that stuff already, but once he was diagnosed with cancer, colon in particular, yeah.
So I know I've seen now where they scrub each other off
their yes.
turnout gear before they go back yes. to the firehouse.
Yes, and it used to be like your helmet being really, really dirty and having soot on it was like a badge of honor, and now... We know.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah. To the point where even, like, if you're in administration, driving an SUV with your gear in the back versus driving, like, a pickup truck where you can put your gear outside mm-hmm. of the cab that you're in. I mean, even that far, like, your gear should not even be within the vehicle that you're driving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, we... So he was diagnosed March 19th, and the fire department put together a fundraiser because we didn't know where we were going for treatment. And MD Anderson was always talked about. just so happens we found out, because Kentucky is so prevalent with colon cancer, that there were a ton of colon cancer doctors right here in this area. So they put together a fundraiser knowing that we would be traveling, which we did end up going to MD Anderson. We did end up at Sarah Cannon in Nashville, Tennessee. But at that fundraiser, we were introduced to the Colon Cancer Prevention Project, which Joe Hurt, once again, knew a gastroenterologist who started the Colon Cancer Prevention Project, Dr. Whitney Jones. And then the executive director of the Colon Cancer Prevention Project is Amanda Smart, whose brother Josh Smart is on the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Her dad was a preacher here in town. She grew up here. So we were introduced to them at that fundraiser, and then from then on, I eventually became part of the board of directors, and then Bruce worked on the firefighter education, and they ended up naming that educational program after him. And there was a point in time where the American Cancer Society in Indiana got Bruce's name, and he went up to the State House to give testimony to lowering the age from 50 to 45. So he did that as well, which they lowered it in Indiana, and then very soon after that, they lowered it nationwide, which was a very, very good move. I think it still needs to be lower, but... Again, toxic world.
Yep.
It's also going in our bodies.
What do you want people to know about Bruce?
He would want us to continue spreading the message of early detection of colon cancer. So that is our mission, to continue his legacy to that end. What I want people to know about Bruce, and what those closest to him know, is that he was a phenomenal husband. Like, I've been married before. He was my home. You talk about anxiety? He was my drug. Like, he just took it away. Like, I would get anxiety I hate to say this, but I would get anxiety going home for holidays with my family, and I didn't with him. He just took it away.
He was your person.
Yeah. He was hilarious, goofy.
Always positive.
Yes.
Always,
oh gosh.
Laughing. Like I said, when I met him, I had no idea he was sick. He was sitting in his office just laughing and cutting up, and no clue he was so sick.
Yeah. And I think I was the only one who knew what he went through, because he suffered. No, I'm not saying he didn't have good days, because we had good days, and we had continued having adventures, camping or traveling or whatever. But he was just out of this world dad to Dory and Kayla from moment one. I remember him talking about Kayla. She apparently was pretty colicky the first year of life, and I think he held her the first year of her freaking life. And it's kind of funny, and I'd say this to her too, but she's like a bottle-fed kitten. And I've worked in animal rescue,
that's
and if
funny.
You know what a
yes,
bottle-fed kitten
absolutely.
Is like.
That's funny.
But, I mean, he was Mr. Mom, and it was his choice. And if he'd had a spouse that didn't allow him to do those things, yeah. But he was.
How has your life changed since his passing?
I lost my future. Literally. It's just way too quiet. Way too boring. But, I mean, you lose your future. I mean, we had just gotten started. You know, I moved down here in 2015 after dating, you know, a year and a half. Just because at some point you need to...
be closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decide, is this going to work or is this not? So we were just getting started. But I'm thankful because we did a lot in the 8 years we had. We did a lot. And I have all of those memories and pictures, and it's not the same. It's not remotely the same right. as having him here physically, but I lost my future because he was my future. And we had a lot of things we wanted to do. We weren't, you know, like I said, we made a lot of memories. We did a ton, had a lot of adventures, but we had a lot more to do. And even just day-to-day life was
right. just the normal.
So much fun. Just doing nothing. I mean, yeah. So I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's never going to be the same. Because no. he's one of a kind.
No matter how much time passes, it is never going to be the same.
Yeah.
No. What do you think he would tell someone that wanted to be a firefighter?
He would tell them it's the best job in the world. I mean, he had me trying to... I mean, I remember at the Clark County Health Department, there's a couple guys and they're still there. I'd be like... hey, Zach, you should think about being a firefighter. You know, or like Drew, who was eventually my boss after Laura Lindley passed away and my boss became the administrator, and then Drew was my boss. I'm like, Drew, you should really, especially during COVID, it was like, you know, who isn't thinking of a different career? Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's the best job in the world. And then you can have, I mean... It does, you do miss things, and I can't even begin to know what that's like for those guys. I also feel like a door is opened to things that you wouldn't be able to do. Like, you know, Bruce, Tori's best friend is Olivia Jones, and Karen Jones would take Olivia and Tori to school every morning, and Bruce would pick them up every night. For years, like when Bruce passed, Olivia lost. She has a dad, but Bruce was her dad too.
Here every day after school.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But yeah, best job in the world. And all I can say is, my son-in-law is also a firefighter in Fairdale in Kentucky. Being a Jeffersonville firefighter. I mean, we've been through it. And as far as when you get sick, the benefits, I mean, I can't imagine how some people get through cancer or any chronic illness without the benefits that we've had. And we've been taken care of with health insurance, with, you know, how the state of Indiana manages their firefighters' pension and benefits.
I know that Deputy Chief Jason Sharp took a lot of time gathering all the information
yes.
about Bruce's illness, because he had shared with me, like, how emotional it was, how hard it was
yes.
for him to do that.
He and I both,
but
yeah.
He knew. He wasn't going to let this go.
Yes.
He knew he had to get it certified as a in line of duty death, so he could
yes 4,000 pieces of paper yeah
and he hand delivered it to the state.
Yeah,
I mean, like, once again, who else's employer would do that for them?
Yeah, yeah,
who else's coworker would take that time, that energy, that emotion,
yeah,
to do that?
Yep, we did it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
got a letter from Dr. Yazel, got a letter from Dr. James Cripps, who's with Colon Cancer Prevention Project. The 4,000, I don't know how many hospitals in how many states I went to get all those medical records. He printed them all off. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah.
I mean, you just...
And that's the thing, like, if his death... does one thing in elevating, you know, the knowledge of the risk of cancer in the fire service. When we were at the memorial in Indianapolis, Joel Thacker, who is the executive director of the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, who, I mean, I didn't know Bruce knew him. Like, we both worked on this project under Governor Daniels with Homeland Security. So we'd been around Homeland Security. Joel Thacker wasn't the executive director at the time. So Joel Thacker's up there addressing everyone who's had a firefighter in the state of Indiana pass. I think there were 12 of us. He's standing at the podium staring at me. And I said he was staring literally into my soul, talking about Bruce and how he had ran into Bruce outside the State House one day, just walking. They were just passing. I assume Bruce was there testifying. And so Bruce told his story to Joel. And Joel went to the doctor because of Bruce's story. And he had cancerous polyps in his colon. And he stood up there and said, I would not be alive today if it were not for Bruce. And just like in passing, Bruce has shared his story with this man, which he's done
a thousand times. What stories we tell are going to change somebody's life.
Yeah.
Are going to make somebody be like, oh yeah, I should get tested.
And we'd be on vacation. I mean, I remember in Florida, 2 hours. He went inside. He's like, I'm going to go in this firehouse. And he didn't know anybody there. Didn't know a soul. And I laugh because we're on vacation. We'd rented a convertible. He left me in the parking lot with the convertible down in the hot Florida sun to go talk to these firefighters about. And I wasn't a bit mad.
No, he was
literally in there for 2 hours talking to complete strangers about colon cancer and his story. And we drove down to Key West and we stopped at least 2 firehouses, one in Key West and one along the route there. Same thing. He's just going in to a random firehouse talking to complete strangers about his story because he is determined to spread the message.
And I say this all the time. Everybody has a story to tell. We all have something that can help somebody. Whether we think it's, oh, nobody cares about this or about that. But right there.
Yeah.
He didn't know these people.
Didn't know them at all.
But what if he saved one person's life or made them think, yeah, we should start this program in our fire department.
Yeah. And there are several Jeff firefighters who have come to me and told me about. And there's the fire chief in Henryville, Mark Furnish. I wanted to smack him because he like told me after Bruce's funeral it hit him that he had not had his colonoscopy yet and he was at least 60. And they found cancerous polyps and he didn't go into detail, but he had to go through not chemo, but some kind of treatment.
Yeah.
And he's like, because of Bruce, I went to the doctor at 60, but still, he still wasn't going to go then. And, you know, we both knew him well. I would call him a friend. And just to hear those stories and then, you know, like, he shows up the next year at the Colon Cancer Prevention Project 5K. Hey, we're here. We want to walk in Bruce's honor. And I'm like, well, you're a survivor too. Get over there and get your picture taken. You know, like, it's crazy.
We just don't know, I mean, how much time we have left.
We don't.
And
no.
We can sit around and complain and get caught up in things, which I have so much this year. But sitting here talking to you,
it's crazy.
I know what I need to do, and I want to thank Bruce for us to be able to talk and for me to realize, like, life is short. You gotta have fun. I mean, I had a mother. My mom had breast cancer. I've had so many family members. You know, my aunt died of pancreatic cancer, and you can sit around and you can be mad, you can be upset, You can hate whatever about your life, but in the end, just go out there and live it.
Yes.
Be like, if you have to be like anybody, be like Bruce. I mean, you see all these celebrities, oh, I want to be like that. No, be like somebody that truly loved their life, their yes. career, their yes. family.
And wanted, he always said, I want to live to be 100. And I'm always like, okay. I don't know if I'm going to be here with you, buddy. But he wanted to live to be 100, and he was not joking. And he wanted to be a grandfather, and he literally loved life. And I've never been the person, and he wasn't either, to, you know, you see people that are just saving for retirement.
Nope.
We never were, thankfully, and that's why we had the wonderful 8 years that
that's
we had.
That's why I'm broke,
adventures.
Because I'm trying to enjoy life now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just, okay.
Yeah, because you're
get, whether you're 20... 25,
whatever.
45, 75.
You got
you
one
may not
life
be here
to live.
Tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, thank you so much for being here. Like, I've wanted to do this interview for so long.
Thank you
sure
for doing
I was
it.
I going to be emotionally ready.
Right.
But here we are.
Yeah.
We cried. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because this it's is just good. How much Bruce has meant to you, to our community. Was there any seats in that church at his funeral?
There was, which was surprising, but honestly, that day is kind of a... He was loved, no matter...
Yep. Absolutely. And yeah, we're definitely a better city because of him. Do you have anything else you want to tell us?
I'm just thankful that you're doing this, and that's a lot, talking to 12 firefighters.
Now I think I want
to talk. It's going to be great.
I need to talk to Joe Hurt now, evidently, too.
He's, yeah. Joe Hurt, I mean, you got a lot of good ones there if you have to make a selection.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It was nice to